Good morning, everybody. And happy Palm Sunday. Good to have y'all here. And those of us online, if you want to take a few minutes and greet one another this morning, amen. Praise the Lord.
One, test three. Okay, good morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Thank you for greeting each other in the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to begin the service here. Next Sunday is Easter. Is that right? Easter Sunday next week. So we'll have the Lord's Supper in the a.m. service. And for those of you that like to do family stuff and get together on Easter Sunday, you just take your time. We will not have Sunday evening service next Sunday, Easter Sunday. So come Sunday morning, experience the Lord's Supper with us, and we'll have a great morning, Resurrection Sunday. Amen? But really, every Sunday's Resurrection Sunday, so it's a kind of a, but you know, amen. You'll see some folks you probably haven't seen in a while. So, amen? All right, let's get after it. You ready, buddy?
Okay, no,
No birthdays. Do we have a birthday? Oh, that one's got a birthday? All right. I guess she's one. Be one on Saturday. All right. Well, we do have a birthday. Okay, we'll sing. Yes, sir.
I have a birthday.
Well, you do.
My granddaughter turned 10 today.
Your granddaughter turned 10. Okay, so there are some birthdays out there. All right, we'll sing them happy birthdays, brother. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. All right, well, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing There Is No Other Name.
There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flows. This is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me. In my unrighteousness, this is why by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. With a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
servant's role. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I can.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for our choir and worship music. And, Lord, we thank you for our visitors today. And Lord, we just ask you to be with them. Lord, just be with our shut-ins, the ones that are online. We welcome them online, Lord. And we just, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for our pastor. Just put the word on his heart. We pray that the Holy Spirit just flows in this church this moment, this morning, Lord, and just touches somebody, Lord. We pray that if there's anybody out there that don't know you, Lord, we pray that they come forth and give their life to you today. Yes, Lord, this is what this is about, Lord. We pray that we take these words outside the door. Lord, we witness to other people, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you for all these Sunday school teachers. We thank you for Jeremiah, Lori, Lord. We thank you for this church building. You've given us so much, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask you, we just give a small portion back to you, Lord. We just ask you to bless this offering in your precious holy name. And thank you for everything you give us again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Two want to go to children's church? One want to go to children's church? Anybody want to go to children? All right, he wants to go. Amen. He's ready to go. Fired up. Fired up. Amen. Very good. London, you want to do your big announcement right quick? That way you don't have to rush back from children's church. What do you want to do, baby? You want to do it right quick? All right, come on. We're gonna make a big announcement here. London, I'm very proud of you. Amen. All by herself, Mom. Your mom can come. Come on, Mom. You want to come hang out with her right quick? Yeah. All right. Well, Audrey, London's mom, has had the wonderful privilege of leading London to the Lord. And so London came and talked to me after service. Here, stand here next to Sissy, right here. Dad, you want to come down? Come on, Dad. You can feel the pressure with everybody. Eh? This is Chad, Audrey, right? London. Tell me your name again.
Mason.
All right. Well, this is Chad's wonderful family. And Audrey, the mom, has led London, the daughter, to the Lord in Christ. Amen. Talk to her about salvation. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. That's great. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that cool, Mason? That's awesome. And so London is a candidate for baptism. And so we're going to baptize you next week? You think so? All right. Easter Sunday. Well, that's a good Sunday to get baptized on, girl. Amen. You'll remember that for the rest of your life. Amen. I may even leave the heater off. I won't do that to you, baby. It'll be warm. If you're excited about London's decision for Christ, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
All right, baby. You go enjoy your children's church. Amen? All right. Very good. Thank you all for coming down. That's good, good, good. Chad, beautiful family, brother. Beautiful family, man. All right. Amen. I remember when mine were that age. I think it was easier when they were younger. I don't know. I think it was. I think the older they've gotten, there's just more cars to service. I feel like I'm running a garage. You know what I mean? I mean, like every time I turn around, somebody's, I got to change a tail light when I get home today. Get a tail light changed, and then somebody's always needing an oil change. It's amazing. I guess it's a good thing that they're not all due at the same time. You know, I'd be 2 days out in the driveway trying to get all the oil changed. This has nothing to do with the service. I need your help. I woke up Friday morning about 1:30. I normally sleep good going into my day off. Day off is on Friday, and I woke up about 1:35, 1:40-ish on Friday morning, and my tooth was killing me. I mean, killing me, man. And I got up, took a couple of Aleve, and it took the edge off of it. By about 3 o'clock in the morning, the edge was off of the pain, so I could lay back down and go to sleep. And you know how hard it is to find a dentist on Friday? Oh, my soul. So 8 o'clock in the morning, that's when they start opening, and I start calling around. I first called my dentist over in Spring Creek, Forest, Dental, something, I don't know. Left a message, called about 3 times, and then, well, I'm not getting a call back from my folks, so I start calling around and finally get a smile dentist, something here in Tomball, and they would see me on Monday. I go, well, I'm in quite a bit of pain. Well, sir, we're all booked today, and Monday's as soon as you get. Long story short, my dentist called me back and said, you know, we're closed every other Friday. This is the Friday we're closed on, but I got your message. I'm in the office seeing patients, seeing emergency, stuff like that. I was able to get in. He goes, what do you think is going on? I go, I think this root canal that I had years ago at another dental place, in fact, it was across the street where I had the root canal done. I said, I think it's infected. He goes, well, let's take some x-rays, da-da-da-da-da. Sure enough, the root canal has cracked, and it's infected. So he gave me 30 pills of amoxicillin. I got to take amoxicillin every 8 hours. I'm watching the softball game Friday night with my up at the high school, and I'm sitting at the very top, and I'm so discombobulated and disoriented because that infection's right here and your brain's right here. I thought I was going to fall out, man. But finally, Saturday morning, the antibiotics started kicking in. This is the deal. The dentist that I went and saw, which I was very grateful for him to see me on such short notice, he said typically when these crack, they're going to crack again. You can have another root canal, but if it's cracked once, it's going to crack again. This is what he wants to do. He wants to pull that old molar out of there. That's that 12-year-old molar been in there forever and a day. I'm 54, been in there a long time. He wants to yank that dude out and put one of those titanium posts and then cap it with one of them fake teeth, right? If you've ever had a second root canal on the same tooth, please let me know your experience after the service. Or if you've had a root canal that failed and they ripped it out and put one of those titanium posts in there and you got a tooth sitting on that. If that's anybody here, Let me know your experience. Amen? Because I don't know which way to go. It's about $400 difference, right? Having another root canal or getting a titanium deal. Amen? All right. Has nothing to do. Stand with me. If you take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 18. The good news is amoxicillin works. Amen? And I can preach today. Lengthy passage for you, Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21, all the way through verse 35. I seek to cover this complete passage this morning with you, maybe not in every detail, but we're going to get the meat out of it. Amen? Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21, the Word of God reads this. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay his Lord, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the goodness of it. We thank you for this decision that we got to announce today, Lord. And we're thankful for Chad and Audrey and their Christian home. And Lord, just the whole concept of getting to lead your child to the Lord, what a beautiful thing that is. And Lord, we're thankful for our visitors today, Lord. We pray that their hearts and minds and everyone here and those online with us, that their hearts would be open to receive the message contained therein for them. And Lord, we're thankful for your presence here today by your Holy Spirit. We pray that he be able to work and minister and bring conviction and encouragement where that needs to happen. And Lord, we pray there's one here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior and Lord. We pray just as London prayed to receive Christ and is saved, Lord, we pray that someone else, perhaps one or two, three or four, might walk this aisle for you today and receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We praise you today, Lord. We love you. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, what you need to first and foremost understand from today's message is that this passage that we just read, lengthy passage, it hangs together and is connected with what we've been studying all the way back to Matthew 17, 24, and the following services, or passages and verses dovetailing into where we're at today. As we have moved through them over the last weeks, these things are all connected. You really want to think of this chapter 18 as a theological lecture, of sorts given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not as extensive as Jesus' Mount of Olives discourse in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. However, this section of Scripture, it covers some pretty amazing topics. The whole time Jesus is giving this lecture, I can surmise, I can imagine, I can wonder that perhaps the little child that Jesus first brought to Himself, that He first received to Himself, is now asleep at Jesus' feet. Or he's still in the arms of Christ with his head on Jesus' shoulder, perhaps asleep. Or perhaps the mother is holding the little child very closely to the Savior as the Savior makes these great points to his disciples. Well, last week's passage from Matthew 18, 15 through 20 must have made a powerful impression on the disciples, for we see that Peter is probably feeling a little embarrassed, because it is the Apostle Peter who was the catalyst, who was the instigator of all this great teaching given to the disciples by his bragging about how Jesus and his temple tribute tax was paid. Remember that? Fish with a coin in the mouth, right? You can just hear braggadocious Peter. You can just hear Peter got issues with being able to keep his mouth shut. You can just hear Peter bragging to the other disciples. Man, Jesus took care of the rock. The Lord and our teacher took care of his rock. May I add probably his favorite. He took care of me and him. What are you guys going to do? Amen? What are you guys going to do? Peter has got to be thinking at this point. Well, I'm not the wandering sheep. I know I'm not the wandering sheep. I'm here in the midst of Christ and the other disciples. But perhaps my fellow disciples think I am the arrogant sheep. Or perhaps they think I'm a jerk of a sheep. Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for me? In other words, Jesus, help me with my foot in mouth disease. You guys, can you relate to that? Help me with my foot in mouth. You know what foot in mouth disease is, right? You open your mouth and you insert your foot, right? I have a tendency to get in that size 13 all the way back there to where them tonsils used to be. Amen. I get that foot deep down in that mouth. Well, we're talking about those of us, I include myself in the group, that have issues with our mental governors. Our mental governors. We don't know when to stop. Ever been told that? You ever heard that before? You just don't know when to shut up. You know, Confucius say, when you're in a hole, put down the shovel, right? You just can't connect the dots on that sometimes. Well, whether we are a wandering follower that has been confronted and we have thus confessed or repented, or whether we are one that continually upsets the apple cart with our comments and snide remarks, Jesus gives us some gracious truth about how we are to be treated. One of the big thematic points of chapter 18 that you don't want to miss, you don't want to miss this, is how each of us is absolutely valuable to the triune Godhead. Now, I surmise Peter wants to say he's sorry to the rest of the disciples, right? For once again, stirring them up in a frenzy of anger about his prideful comments. You know, he comes to the Lord. Let me just kind of get this out here, or I think I'll forget it. I don't want to forget it. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me?" You ever gone to somebody and say, I've got a friend, and he was wondering. He was wondering what to do, and that individual is really talking about themselves, right? That's what's going on here. Then Peter came to him and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me?" He sinned against them, right? And they've sinned against each other in all this bragging and all this carrying on. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus has put in a, he's put a boatload of truth on them and brought about conviction in their heart. And now Peter is responding to that conviction. Three things about this passage. The first one is this, as we kick it off here in verse 21, trying to get all the way through verse 35. I want you to see this, number one, the great principle of forgiveness. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, the thing of forgiveness. Look at verses 21 with me again. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 70 times seven. Peter wanted to use addition. The Lord said, let's use multiplication instead. Let's use multiplication instead. For most of us, someone sins against us, says something that offends us or is offensive, and we can let the offense go. Once, maybe twice, three times. But we get to the point, if they keep on keeping on, we get to the point where we start holding a grudge. At first glance, then, Peter was being pretty generous with a seven-time forgiveness schedule, right? All of us in our own nature are probably pretty forgiving until about the fourth offense. We get to that fourth offense with someone, and we're kind of like, whether we say it or not, why don't you just save your apology? Because I'm tired of hearing it. I'm not going to hear it again. You know, we've been through this three times, and now this is the fourth time, and so why don't you just save that, right? Incidentally, when we look at Jewish literature and Jewish history, the Judaistic rabbis of the day of the first century and before, they had taught if a man commits a transgression, the first, second, and third time he is forgiven, but the fourth time he is not forgiven. So for Peter to say seven times, Peter was trying to show some grace. But ultimately what Jesus is saying with the multiplication and not the addition, Jesus says, you got to quit keeping score. That was the whole point way back at the end of chapter 17, going into the beginning of chapter 18. They were wanting to try to establish some kind of a pecking order. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And I'm greater than Peter. And Peter says, he's greater than me. And they were just back and forth and going at it. And here again, Jesus is saying, you know, you just got to quit keeping score. Right? You got to quit keeping score. Jesus wasn't saying to Peter that he could quit forgiving a repeat offender after he reached the 491st offense. Rather, his point to Peter was that he should not even bother. Just quit counting. That's the point. I mean, who wants to count 490 offenses against you as an individual? Who wants to count that? Boy, you're talking about unforgiveness being a prison. You're talking about bitterness being harder on you than it is against the person you're being bitter against. Trying to keep up with 490 offenses? My soul, that would take all day and night, would it not? Amen? See, Jesus was teaching the principle that there is to be no limit to the number of times that we forgive our brother or sister in Christ. That's a good place to say amen. Amen? That's a good spot. Good spot. The question may be, though, is Jesus in his teaching here, is he being unreasonable here? Seems unreasonable to be ready to forgive someone without limit each and every time they come back and ask for forgiveness. It seems to be unreasonable. The Father, the Godhead, never counts the number of times we ask for forgiveness. Never. God the Father, the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit, He is ready to offer forgiveness to us without limit. Without limit. So having tasted of His unlimited forgiveness for every sin in His Son, Jesus Christ, He now calls upon us to do the same toward our repentant brother or sister. Now, there's never been a limit, nor will there ever be a limit to how many times we may come to the Father to ask for forgiveness. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, "The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." Amen. Romans 5:20. Point number one, the great principle of forgiveness. Point number two, the parable of what not to do. The parable of what not to do. Beginning at about verse 23 and going all the way through verse 24. Let's look at it again right quick. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay his lord," I always mess that up. There's a comma there. "But since he did not have the means to repay," comma, "his lord commanded him to be sold," comma, "along with his wife and children, all that he had," comma, "and repayment to be made." Right? Wow. Like most monarchs, this king had a great number of servants under him. He had a great kingdom, a great empire there. And like most monarchs, he wished to receive an accounting of how his empire had been managed by them. That's the balance of verse 24, right? We don't know how this particular servant had managed to be in such great debt to the king. He could have greatly mismanaged the king's affairs, or the servant could have embezzled the money over a number of years. We don't know. However, his lack of performance occurred. The man was finally found out and was now accountable to the king for an astronomical sum, an incredible sum. And so the question is, how much did the slave owe his master? How much did he owe him? Well, did we get to that point? How far did I read down? Did I get down to about verse 25, 26? So the slave fell. Oh, let's look further up. "When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents." There it is, verse 24. How much did the slave owe his master? A talent was a unit of weight used to measure gold or silver, and each talent was roughly worth approximately 6,000 times a normal working man's daily wage. So you can kind of do the math on your phone. That's a lot. This man owed the king 10,000 talents. Some Bible scholars estimate the value of his debt to be in the tens of millions of dollars. Others estimate it to be much more than that. He owed a lot of money. The point is that it was a debt that the servant could not in any way ever come close to paying back. No, what's going to happen? The slave here in the parable that Jesus tells the Apostle Peter, and subsequently the other disciples that are listening, the slave serves as an accurate picture of our condition, mine and your condition before God as sinners. We were born utterly, unspeakably bankrupt before God. We inherited a debt of sin before Him from our first parents, Adam and Eve, that is exceedingly beyond our ability to ever hope to pay. In addition, every day we live, we have added the guilt of our own sins to this already impossible debt. There is absolutely no way we could ever pay off the debt of guilt before God for our own sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. The king, in verse 25, first acted with justice towards the slave. Verse 25, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had in repayment to be made. Now, this was typical in those days. A man would be sold into debtor's prison to work off his debt. Sometimes a man's whole family would be sold into debtor's prison along with him because his family back then was considered a part of all that he owned. And so the king gave the order that the man and his family and his children and everything he possessed be sold off, and his family, his wife and his kids be sold into debtor's prison to work off the debt. The bottom line is they're never going to work it off. All that he owes, all that he owns, sold, it's going to scratch the surface of the debt. All the remaining days that him and his wife and his kids' remaining days, all the labor hours that they will pour in into the debtor's prisons for the rest of their lives will not even come close to paying the debt. The man's situation was hopeless, in that the value of his family's lives and possessions would not even come close to paying it off. So the slave exercised the only option he had. He throws himself to the ground and he begs for mercy. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Now that's a false statement, because he's not able to repay everything. He can hardly scratch the surface. But who wants to see their babies and their wife sold into debtor's prison for the rest of their lives? Nobody wants to see that. So he throws himself on the mercy of the court. He throws himself at the floor of the king. And so what does the king do? The king responds with mercy. Now, he first approached the situation with justice, but mercy was requested from him, and so he responds with mercy. Verse 27, and the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Wow. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. In forgiving the man his debt, the king did not simply ignore the debt. Rather, the king, he bore the loss himself. He thought about the servant. He thought about the servant's wife. He thought about the servant's children. He thought about what the servant was saying. He thought about the mercy requested of him. And he thought, well, you know what? I'll just absorb this debt. Huge debt, big debt. But I can absorb it. I'm going to absorb it. This is what God the Father has done toward us. Exactly. He does not just ignore our sins. He administers the full punishment due our sins once and for all on His Son on the cross. Our sins are taken care of on the cross. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Are you still with me? Amen. So the slave was what? We can say that the slave was sorry. He was sorry. What was he sorry about? Well, like most of us sometimes, he was sorry he got caught. But he wasn't real sorry that he had hurt the king. You can see that fleshed out here in the rest of the parable. I want you to notice the timing here. Look at verse 28. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii and seized him and began to choke him. Began to choke him, man, saying, pay back what you owe. I want you to notice the timing. I want you to feel the immediacy in which he sought out his fellow slave. Now, his debt that he's never going to be able to pay has just been forgiven by the king. And so what does he do? He goes out and immediately finds somebody that owes him 100 denarii. I want you to notice his concern. His concern is not about the grace equation. His concern is not about mercy distribution. His concern is about getting ahead. I've just had this whole thing knocked off my back. This whole thing that I would never be able to repay, the king just forgave it. I think I'm going to try to get ahead here. A debt of 100 denarii. Now, that would be roughly equal to 100 days of the average working man's wages. Now, that's no small amount. That's no small amount, of course, but in time, this amount of debt could be paid off. But the point I think Jesus is making is that there is no comparison between the two debts. One could be paid off, one could not be paid off. I want you to notice his manner, right? And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. Verse 29 says, so his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him into that same debtor's prison that he got forgiven of until he should pay back what was owed. That's incredible to me. You would think that hearing the almost same exact words that the first slave spoke to the king, you would think that that would have reminded him of the grace that he had just been shown. But the slave was not moved. He was not moved to reciprocate the grace and mercy that he had been shown by the king. Are you still with me? I want you to notice the reaction of the fellow slaves. They didn't like what they're seeing. Now, they're not liking what they're hearing. Verse 31 through 34, so when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. That is amazing to me, friend. That is amazing to me. That is amazing. I want you to notice the reaction, friend. You cannot repay when you're being tortured. Do you get the point? You cannot repay when you're being tortured. We've gone past debtor's prison to being handed over to the torturers, right? This, in the Bible, put a note out to the side if you want to in your margin, is a picture of hell. That's what it is. You ain't repaying nobody while you're under the screws of torture. That's just not going to happen. Second thing I want you to see here is a man reaps what a man sows. You see the spirit of reciprocity all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible. Let me try to give you some application here. All that we have a right to expect of anyone who sins against us is that they confess their sin to us and ask forgiveness from us. And when we do so, when we refuse to do so, to give them forgiveness, how wicked of us to demand more of someone else than God asks of us. When we do that, we are claiming to be more worthy of justice than God Himself. When we won't forgive, when we will not extend forgiveness. Let me give the application here. The Lord teaches us in this passage that there is to be no limit to our readiness to forgive someone who sins against us. Do y'all see that in the passage? I mean, after the passage is explained, do you see that? I hope you see that. Now, point number one was the great principle of forgiveness. Point number two, the parable of what not to do. And then point number three, verse 35, if you can relate to this promise, because there's a promise made there in verse 35, if you can relate to this promise, then you have some spiritual work to do. You have some spiritual work to do. Look at verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. Not maybe, He will. Will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So, Jesus has brought this little child into his sphere of influence. He's propped this little child up on his lap, on his knee here. He's taught these disciples. He's gone into a pretty long discourse, a pretty long lecture of theology. This little child is at the feet of Christ. This little child is sleeping on Christ's shoulder. This little child is perhaps in the arms of his mother. She's sitting close by with the child. The child is sleeping. The child is eating. Who knows what? But man, my soul, some of these disciples are hearing what Jesus is saying. And perhaps some of them are thinking to themselves, well, I don't know. You know, he's done this before. And Peter, he just won't change. And Peter, you never know what's going to come out of Peter's mouth. You just never know. You just never know. I don't know if I can. I guarantee you, after Jesus got through with this discourse, everybody was coming up to Peter. Peter, we love you, man. We love you, Peter. Peter, let's hug it out, man. You're forgiven, brother. You are forgiven. And I bet Peter is hugging them. And I bet it was a beautiful picture between the apostles, between these disciples, of extending grace and mercy and forgiveness to one another. Friend, if you can relate to this promise, you got some spiritual work to do. The great lesson of verse 35 is that you may not be one of Jesus' forgiven followers if you are totally and completely unforgiving towards somebody else who has sought forgiveness from you. You may be here today having placed your trust in the cross of Jesus and having made a profession of faith in Him, but you're here today and you have an actual fact. You've lived for years with God's hand of judgment heavy upon you because you are harboring unforgiveness in your heart toward a repentant brother or sister. Friend, I want to tell you, this is the day to let all that go. This is today. This is the day to get out of your prison. This is the day to let the shackles of unforgiveness fall off of you. This is the day to let it wash over you. This is the day to come up from the depths and see the light of day. This is the day to get free. My suggestion to you is this. Allow the Holy Spirit, when we get into this time of invitation, allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart concerning the sin of unforgiveness. And when He shows you that you're harboring bitterness towards someone that has asked for your forgiveness, then first run immediately to the Father and confess that sin in the spirit of Matthew 18, 31 through 34. Admit to the Lord that you've been operating as a wicked slave, as wicked as that man in the parable. And friend, after that confession, be sorry that you hurt your king and seek forgiveness from him. And let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to experience grace, and you're going to experience mercy afresh. These things are going to change you from the inside out. You're going to be better for it. You're going to be free for it. You're going to be amazed by it. And then not today, but 30 days from now, or 60 days from now, or 90 days from now, you come by and see me and tell me how good the freedom from bitterness really is. Yeah, you come by and tell me then. Don't tell me today. You stay the course for 30 days. You stay the course for 60 days, 90 days. And friend, me and you together in 30 days from now, 60 days from now, 90 days from now, we will praise the Lord and give Him glory for what He has done in your life and what He's done in this church. Amen? Amen. We'll do it. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in a time of invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You, Lord, for leading us through it. A lengthy passage, a lot in there. But Lord, we made a running start at it. We took a college try at it, God, and we tried to get some truth out of that thing today. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's struggling with that old bitterness, Lord, with that old unforgiven spirit, let the scales fall off of their eyes and off of their heart today. And Lord, let them get back to square with You. Let them get back to a fresh approach with You. And Lord, people are sinners saved by grace. And You put sinners together saved by grace, and they're bound to offend each other. But Lord, based on what we've read today, we need to be ready to forgive. So help us with that forgiveness, God. Help us do it. Help us live it. And may You get the glory for it. And Lord, if there's one here today that's never been forgiven themselves, they've never sought the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, they've never approached You as seeking forgiveness for their sin, we pray that this would be the hour, this would be the moment, Lord, that they quit running, that they give up on trusting themselves, and they walk this aisle to seek to trust You and invite You into their heart to be their personal Savior and Lord. Father God, whatever we need to do today, may we honor You with our submission to Your Holy Spirit and obedience to the will and the Word of God. May we worship You with those things as we go into this time of invitation. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll stand with us, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in this time of invitation. The altars are open.
Bids me.
Being here today. Amen. All right. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Forgiveness. I'm going to tell you to do us so good. Amen. Forgiveness to do us so good. It's hard. It's hard, ain't it? And boy, I'm telling you, man, I tell you what, I don't think if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, I will find it difficult, right? Have the Holy Spirit in us. It's still difficult, but it's doable. Amen. It's doable, right? Doable. Amen. All right. Man, y'all have a great afternoon. We're going to come back. I think I'm going to finish up 19 all the way, Revelation 19, 11 through 21. I think I'm going to finish that tonight. And so, amen, that'll be a good thing. Good thing. And that'll only give me two chapters left in the book of Revelation, which probably take me another 8 weeks. But anyway, amen, let's have a closing prayer. Visitors, good to have you today. Let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. Those of you online, woohoo! Good to see you. Amen. We'll see y'all next time. Amen. Get a little extreme close up. They're like, "Oh, preacher, that's too close." Amen. All right, very good. Let's close it out. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your Word. Thank you for your church. And Lord, now help us be the church as we leave here, taking the Word of God out, taking the truth of Scripture out in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I pray we'd be able to live it. Help us find ourselves in the Word this coming week, in praying to you this coming week, Lord, and may we lean into you and hold on for dear life when it comes to forgiveness. Lord, there's heinous things that have been done to some and said to others, and Lord, it's just so easy to hold on to that stuff for years and years and years. But Lord, all we do is just build a prison for ourselves. So God, we pray that the walls would come crashing down and the bars would be pulled asunder and we would find ourselves out on the outside of that prison of bitterness. Lord, you'll help us with that. For some, that may not happen today. But you'll help us with that if we'll continue to stay at it. If we'll do the personal work of praying to you and asking for your help and staying in your Word, you'll show us somewhere that small inner voice. You'll give us the right time to let it all go if we can't let it go today. So God, may we just stay faithful and continue to stay humble and continue to walk with you. And you'll help us. You'll help us break free. I believe it. I know it. We love you today, Lord. Give us safety. We look forward to tonight. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You folks are dismissed.